Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Naomi here. There is no Danielle here in my house. In true batch bitch fashion, we have planned our lives poorly. Danielle is going to London for 2 weeks and we did not pre-record enough podcasts to last that period. So instead, we have recorded one more podcast, which will come out next week. But I thought in the meantime, I would post this podcast from Prime Mates that Danielle and I did last week. So hopefully you haven't listened to it yet, but we've got half the podcast here. And then if you want to hear the other half, then head on over to Prime Mates and listen there. And if you think that's annoying, well, then I don't know what to tell you. Matt is very nice for letting us basically repost his podcast because we can't get our shit together. And you should support him because he is an ally. Okay, thank you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from chimpan A to chimpan Z. Gets me every time. This week on the show, returning to... Do you do something in between there usually?
Well, no, that's fine.
Okay. This week on the show, returning to the Monkey House, we have comedian, writer and co-host of the Batch Bitch podcast, it's Naomi Higgins.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. We also have a first-time guest, also a comedian, writer, and co-host of the Batch Bitch podcast, which I love, by the way. It's Danielle Walker.
Thank you for loving it.
That was real good.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I love a Freaky Friday scenario. Can you believe that happened just by us holding hands in a thunderstorm?
Yeah. Is that how that happens?
Well, I haven't
seen it.
I'm
pretty sure it's in a Chinese restaurant.
That's what I meant.
And it's a fortune cookie or something.
Sorry. When I said thunderstorm, I meant Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Fortune cookie.
Is that racist?
What?
Asian people are magic.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I
this
get.
This is very
moment.
Early.
I think so, but
very early to have problematicified
I'm so sorry.
A modern day classic.
It is a good movie.
Is it? Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's very good. Mm. Does it have any non-human primates in it?
You know what? I'll look it up and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, please do. Danielle, your first time here in the Monkey House.
Yeah.
I imagine it's a real honor for you to be here, so we'll skip through all that sort of stuff. What we normally ask first-time guests, what is your favorite primate?
My favorite monkey is the colobus monkey of Rwanda.
Great.
Ooh.
A fantastic choice.
Thank you.
I don't think that's come up before.
No, well, I did have to Google what it was called because I said it was a black monkey with a white shawl made of hair on its back.
Made of hair?
Yes.
As in its own
hair.
Oh, right.
It hasn't killed a white monkey for the shawl.
It's a beautiful monkey.
It is a beautiful monkey.
I think it's a real striking looking monkey.
Yeah, it's very fashion forward and minimalist, black and white.
Yeah, love that. Classic. You're never going to go out of fashion if you stick with black and white.
No.
Amen.
Staples.
Amen to that. This week we're going to be talking about the classic Disney film, The Jungle Book from 1967. Yes. And it's not the first movie take on The Jungle Book, but it's Disney's first crack at it. They've had a few goes since.
Yeah.
But you selected this movie, Danielle. Why was that?
Because I loved it when I was growing up because my next door neighbor, Rick, used to love The Jungle Book and we'd always watch it in his bar.
Yeah,
his
right.
bar.
He had like a bar. So he had a special room that he called the bar, which was near the pool. And then we would, after we go for a swim, sometimes we'd go sit in the air-conditioned bar and watch The Jungle Book.
Home bar? Sounds like a swim-up bar.
Me and my dad built a deck out by our pool with a Balinese pavilion.
Sounds like you lived in a casino.
Kind of. I don't know. My mum was obsessed with Balinese stuff. And so we had like a pool shed, which was made out of corrugated iron, which my mum sort of made it look a bit more Bali by painting it hot pink and thatching the roof.
No.
Yeah. She did. Do you want to? Oh.
That's
I'll
very
send you
Bali.
A photo.
And it is it's because of this pool and bar that you like the Jungle Book.
Yes, because, you know.
Because you were the only one of the three of us that had seen it before.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. Were you, are you guys not Disney, like? You didn't grow up with Disney?
No, I watched most of the 90s ones and some of the really old ones. Like I'd seen Snow White and Pinocchio and stuff like that, like the first era of them, I think. But yeah, I don't know. I missed that. A lot of the ones around the 60s that I was reading about, I hadn't seen. 101 Dalmatians was...
You haven't seen 101 Dalmatians?
Wow.
I don't think so. I don't have a dog either, so...
What the f... You don't have a dog either?
I know, I'm a freak. I'm a real big freak.
You're a dog.
Yeah, I am the dog. Anyway, this is the story of the Jungle Book from IMDb. I mean, you know this already, Danielle, but this is for some people out there who might not have seen it. Abandoned after an accident, baby Mowgli is taken and raised by a family of wolves.
Mowgli's a human boy.
A human boy.
He's a man cub.
He's a man cub.
As the boy grows older, the wise panther Bagheera realizes he must be returned to his own kind in the nearby man village. Baloo the bear, however, thinks differently, taking the young Mowgli under his wing and teaching him that living in the jungle is the best life there is. Bagheera realizes that Mowgli is in danger, particularly from Shere Khan the tiger, who hates all people, etc. You know, then that, I mean, the whole movie is basically about Bagheera trying to get Mowgli to go live with humans and the crazy characters Mowgli meets along the way.
Yes.
It's coming your way. One of Disney's all-time animated favorites, The Jungle Book. It's the unforgettable story of the boy who was raised by wolves, befriended by a bear, only to end up in the wildest adventure of all. It's a tale filled with excitement, surprises, danger, and fun. Walt Disney's classic, The Jungle Book.
I just also remembered another reason why I was into The Jungle Book was because I did Scouts when I was growing up. And Cub Scouts, you're like a cub. And all the Cub Scout leaders are all named after characters in The Jungle Book.
Really? Is that a worldwide thing or is that just your place?
I think that's a worldwide thing.
Right.
We would have like nights where you had to do like a Jungle Book trivia. That's why like some leaders would be called like Akela or Bagheera or Rikki Tikki Tarki, who's a meerkat. It's a side thing. Actually, it's not a meerkat. It's a mongoose. Sorry, it's not in this version of the Jungle.
Right.
So that's a fun lot fact of for knowledge.
Because this is the Disneyified version of it, so it's quite different from the original Jungle Book. And I might talk about that a bit later. But so you love it, and rewatching it now, do you love it like you used to?
It was a bit slower paced than I remember it. There was a lot of like, all right, and speed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's plot heavy.
No.
It's literally just like walks place to place and someone's like, a bit but a wow. And then he goes somewhere else and they're like, a shibbity pa.
Yeah.
And it was that for an hour.
And they were not in a hurry to get him to that man village, were they?
No, yeah, he gave up very quickly, Bagheera. So Bagheera, who actually discovered Mowgli in the first place, he brought him to the wolves. The wolves kicked him out after a little while because they're like, you're going to bring trouble from the tiger.
Yeah.
And then he just sort of started jumping around. Bagheera goes, you got to go to the man village. And he's like, I don't want to. He's like, you got to. He's like, I'm not going to. And he's like, all right, fine. And he leaves.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that comes
fine,
from.
Fine, I'll leave this four-year-old boy to his own devices because he's been a little dick.
Well, maybe when Bagheera first found him, he did say, he was like, if I had known how much hassle he would have been, maybe I wouldn't have saved him. So maybe he was just regretting his decision.
Yeah, it's kind of saying you just wish he left him to die.
Yeah.
Which is wild. And I guess he is a wild animal.
Yeah.
What could you expect from a cougar? Panther.
Panther, yeah.
Cat.
Cat. That's broader, which I like.
Can't go wrong.
Of course, people know that panther in Spanish is pantera. So that's a fun fact there. See, a few of the animals outside the room enjoyed that. Your animals. Why are they in? Wait, no, they're in the room.
Yeah, there's got to be more out there.
This studio recently has become real.
I'm not Bagheera.
Yeah. She's picking up dog cubs, though.
Yeah.
Wait, so Scouts is, so the thing, the reason why it's called
Cub Scouts. Not Scouts.
Right, Cub Scouts.
Because like Joey's, Cubs, scouts, venturers, rovers.
And what? What? Are they different?
Yeah, there's different levels.
Oh, so they're levels of the same.
Well, they're like age groups as well.
Okay.
So like a Joey is like, I guess like a 7-year-old or something.
Joey, I didn't know that was pre-cub.
Yeah, pre-cub Joey.
So you go from a baby kangaroo to a baby cat.
Wolf, I guess.
Wolf. Yeah. Cats aren't cubs, are they? Kittens. Yeah. Cubs are dogs. Is that right?
No, dogs are puppies. No.
Dogs are puppies.
Cubs are like bears and wolves, I guess.
Right. Okay, so you go from a baby kangaroo to a, I'm a primatologist. I'm not a bear-matologist sure. or a kangaroo-matologist.
So you'll know the baby name for primates then?
Yeah. Yep. Little Bubba. That's what, well, I mean, that's what we've always called them, but amateur primatologist.
So okay.
We do things a little differently around here. And then you go to cubs and then you go to scouts, which mm-hmm. doesn't have an animal. That's like the real one.
Yeah,
I imagine that's the original one.
Older
and then
one.
How long before actual scouts are even looking at you like, oh, come on, mate,
time to give it up.
Rovers.
Because I think I finished scouts, I think, when I was like 15 or 16.
Wow.
Oh, no, actually, it would have been younger. No, it would have been like 14. It would have been 14 because I did, I don't mean to brag. It's for me, it's a brag. For you, it's a sad fact.
Yeah.
But I was actually, I did my red cord, blue cord, green cord, and then I got awarded my scouting medallion, which not many people do.
Why not?
Because it's a really hard, Naomi. Most people quit before they do it, okay? Sorry, this is our vibe.
This is what Batch Bitch is like, if anyone wants to listen in.
It's just us being mean to each other.
Hey, does that mean bitches in the title?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's our word. Please, Danielle, continue. Sorry about him.
But then, there were no venturers in our area, so I couldn't go up.
Oh.
But then, yeah, when
I got cut off at Rover.
Yeah, I mean, if you're still doing – no, I got cut off at Scout because there was no venturers
in my area. And then
it's
Venturer and then Rover.
But, yeah, I assume Rovers is like you're working a job, like you're finished high school and you're still doing Scouts. I think that's got to be –
What do you do?
That's got to be a loser thing. Yeah. I guess you go on camps and stuff.
Oh, yeah, mate. I feel like I'm being mean. If there are any, what were they, venturers listening? Hey, turn this off right now. It is not for you. This is a grown-up podcast. We're talking about cartoons and this is not. But, no, yeah, fair enough. Obviously people need a thing. But it feels like wouldn't you be graduating from that to becoming like Crocodile Dundee or something instead, or you just go it alone? Surely it's just. You graduate from Scouts and then you pack up a bag and you move to the outback and
pack
never see anyone again.
Pack up one of those, like, in a napkin. And
yeah, napkin on a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, the classic sort of, what do you call those things?
Knapsack?
Knapsack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sack made out of a napkin.
Yeah, knapsack. Any more questions?
And that's all this week.
Do you want to hear a bit about the movie The Jungle Book
Hell
from 1967?
Yes.
Well, it was directed by Wolfgang Riethermann, which is my favourite fact so far.
The only.
It's the 19th Disney animated feature film, and it was a huge hit.
19th,
yeah. So
that's a lot.
Yeah, they really
what are the
19 films.
Pre?
The 18 Jungle previous.
Oh, yeah, sorry, 18 previous.
The one just before was Sword in the Stone, before that 101 Dalmatians.
All hits, all classics. Sword in the Stone, so fun. 101 Dalmatians. So would have picked those as well if they had have had some primates in them.
Which they should. Something that we probably should bring up because we haven't really talked about many primates so far. The main primate in this film is King Louis.
Yeah. Mm.
And King Louis was an invention for this film. It wasn't at all in any of the other Jungle Books. And orangutans.
You mean the character?
The character, yeah.
Oh, you mean, okay.
No, yeah, they didn't invent orangutans.
You said it like it wasn't in any previous Disney film, and I was like, I think you'd find that with a lot of characters.
Yeah, no, sorry, it wasn't in the original Rudyard Kipling
yes.
Jungle Book or in any of the previous adaptations of the Jungle Book. So it was the first time they brought it in. Not the only animal that's not at all native to India as well, so it's mm-hmm. quite strange. But he hangs out with monkeys. It's just him and everyone else around him are monkeys who there are Indian monkeys, so that makes sense. But it's weird that they didn't think to check. I mean, they were writing a movie about singing animals. They probably were like, fuck right. it. But
yeah, what about the man boy who's being raised by wolves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They probably got to that point.
That's weirder.
It is.
Yeah, Matt, you really had a problem with, like, the snake doing hypnotism. You're like, they don't do it.
They don't do that in the book. Apparently, well, that's it. So the car, the snake, mm-hmm. it's what, like, they've just made a lot of bad baddies in this film. Nearly everyone apart from Baloo and Bagheera are sort of out to get the Mowgli. And
not the vultures.
The vultures are good.
Yeah. Oh, the vultures are pretty good.
Which is surprising.
But they were very quickly ready to give him up to the tiger.
They pulled him away.
Then they did pull him away.
Come on.
That's true.
They just flew away and they were like, run. What? Why aren't you running?
Yeah, that's true. I got to go easy on the vultures.
You do. They get in bad enough rap as it is.
But Car the Snake.
Very creepy.
Well, yeah, played by the Winnie the Pooh voice, the classic Winnie the Pooh voice, is just trying to hypnotize everyone, especially Mowgli, and many times trying to eat him. But in the Jungle Book, the original of the snake, Car actually saved his life a few times. When he was captured by the monkeys and Shere Khan was going to take him down, the snake came and saved him a few times. So the snake, I think in the books, is sort of, at least in Mowgli, the only other version that I've seen, Andy Serkis's better version, it's played by Cate Blanchett, the snake, and saves the day quite a bit. And it's more like just it's almost like the jungle snake onified, if you know what I mean. Does that make any sense?
No.
Great.
I'm sure people at home are enjoying that.
Yeah. So Walt Disney, the main man, Walt, the actual human Walt Disney, was first interested in making something with the Jungle Book in the 1930s, but it took him until 1962 to acquire the rights.
Oof. And he loves hounding for the rights, doesn't he?
He loves it, yeah.
How long did he hound the writer of Mary Poppins for? Like 40 years?
Yeah, quite a while.
What she was like, fine.
P.L. Travers or something, P.T., something like that. J.K. Rowling, yeah. That's right. and then it ended up being the last movie that he oversaw, or the last animated Disney film that he oversaw before he died. In 1966, before it was even released.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 1966 also being a big year because the Saints won the VFL Premiership that year, their one and only. Who was your favourite player in that 1966 season for the Saints?
Kevin Williams.
Yeah.
Nick Riewoldt. Hey,
at least
not
you
bad.
Knew somebody.
Not bad. So yeah, it took him quite a while, and then when he finally did get the rights, it was because of one of his right hand men, Bill Pete.
Excuse me, sorry.
What? Yeah, Bill Pete. Bill Pete.
No,
he cannot be called Bill Pete.
Wait, why not?
It's just too blokey
two
names.
Two nicknames.
It's like, of course, that's your best man friend.
Not even William Peter. It's Bill Pete.
Bill Pete.
Come on.
You'd prefer William Peter.
Yes.
All right. Well, William Peter.
too casual.
He was a longtime animator and story man for Walt, and he was keen as on adapting it for Disney.
Are those his words?
They're his words. Direct quote from him. He thought that all the animals in the book would be great for a Disney film. Well, you know, he's like, talking animals. This is right up our alley.
That's smart too, because I was watching Danielle when we were watching it, and every time a new type of animal popped up, her eyes just lit up.
Yeah.
Like, I love animals.
You're an animal person. Would that be fair to say you're an animal person? Naomi, you hate animals. Is
notoriously.
That right? Yeah. Apart from your two dogs that you got in this room.
Yeah, I got my dog Tarzo and then got my godson Peppy too, both cavoodles.
Wait, what does that mean, your godson?
I've just babysitted him a lot.
Oh, you've babysitted him a lot. Okay.
You invite me on this podcast and then you disrespect me like this.
This is from an article.
I'm waiting for you to slip up now.
Why did I put myself in the spot? By Craig McLean from The Telegraph, and he was quoting a British Disney historian, Brian Sibley. What a specific thing he does. I should just slip up quick and get it out of the way.
Yeah, you should.
The pressure is building. So he said that when Disney read William Peter's script, what he found was that the team headed up by Bill Pete had come up with quite a somber, dark, serious story, much more serious than any films they'd done in animation since the days of Pinocchio. An alarmed Disney had a bit of a confrontation with Bill Pete. And the original story was junked, and Pete left the studio in 1964. He quit.
I'd love to see that original script.
Yeah, well, I think it was more accurate to the book.
Oh, okay.
Apparently a lot was riding on this film. In 61, 101 Dalmatians was a huge box office success. But the next one, 1963's The Sword and the Stone, was a bomb.
What? Really?
Yeah, at the cinemas at least. Obviously, it's had a good run since.
I've definitely seen it, which I can't say for a lot of movies from the 60s.
Yeah, that's fair. They don't. Yeah, animation doesn't date as badly, I guess, because it's...
There's less of them.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of does date, but it dates in a different way. It sort of feels like it's
it just feels like it's less quality graphics, I guess.
Right, yeah.
And also, I suppose, the way they talk. Like, it's very funny to hear the old and...
Well, a lot of the voice cast in this film just played themselves, basically. It was one of the first films where... And in this short documentary I watched about it, they were talking about it. Like, there was a bit of criticisms at the time. Like, they were taking too many shortcuts with the characters because they were basically just taking well-known personalities and just merging them with a bear. Now you got this.
That's fun, though. Ah. Baloo's the funnest.
That's right. And character. Now it doesn't... No one knows who... I don't know any of those people now. Yeah. So it's just like, it feels like... Which must suck for that guy. He's like, I'm just... For generations now, I'm a bear. That's all I am to them. So this is one of the reasons why Disney was getting right involved with this. He'd sort of, they were diversifying in the 50s, opened the Disneyland and doing live action films. So he hadn't been as hands-on with some of the recent films, but when that one bombed, he's like, a lot's riding on this. If this bombs, then maybe Disney might stop making animation films. Well, that's how they talk about it now.
Mm. What's going to happen?
So he got involved. He read the Bill Pete script and he scrapped it. He's out, right? So I went back to the drawing board. And this is back to the Telegraph article. It says, ever the perfectionist, Disney went back to scratch. He called in another vintage Disney storyman, Larry Clemens. Happy with that name?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm watching.
And a new team of creatives. His opening gambit was to give a copy of Kipling's book to Larry and his colleagues, says Sibley, the historian. Disney said, the first thing I want you to do is not to read it, which is weird. Like, why are you giving him the book? It's like a test of, here, have this food, just don't eat it. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, but it's not, I mean, it's much more difficult to, like, see food and not eat it than to see a book and not read it.
All right.
Like, okay.
All right, Walt, I'll not do that arduous thing. Arduous. Love reading. And they started working with...
There you go. You idiot.
I think
you
I work well under pressure because normally I would have slipped up way earlier than this.
Yeah, I can see the panic in your eyes, though.
They started working with the characters that Pete had created in his original treatment, but creating a much more upbeat, lively, freer, light in mood film.
Mm.
Isn't that that is all classic sort of Sibley chat.
It's almost too light, I would say.
Yeah, it's so light. It's like nothing really happens
at all.
A couple of fun songs, but yeah.
Yeah, you meet an elephant. You meet some people along the way.
I think maybe that was my favorite scene early in the film when the elephant stuff. That was good fun.
Yeah. There's also so many clips. Like, there was a clip of Mowgli just, like, walking. Like, he's going somewhere. You don't need to always show people, like, doing everything.
Yeah, yeah. We could skip ahead.
Yeah.
It's like, do you need to?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Get this to 70 minutes?
Yeah, this
was
fun.
Was it a couple of minutes less? You're like officially a short film or what?
Yeah, it could have been 45 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of... I mean, they even reused animations. There was that part we sort of noticed.
Yeah, what the hell?
The snake sort of doing that accordion, classic accordion animated maneuver.
The whole part of the snake falling out of the tree, getting its tail stuck.
Yeah.
Just repeated.
Just repeated it. I read somewhere that that's one of the director's trademarks.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that a good trademark?
Maybe he thought it was very clever at the time or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's deja vu.
Right. Yeah, he would have. I bet he had something like that. Yeah, real clever.
Maybe that's what he said.
It, you know,
that son of a bitch.
You know, we say Mowgli. Apparently, it's actually pronounced Mowgli, and Kipling's daughter never forgave Walt Disney for the mispronunciation. Because apparently, like, it was always written the same.
Yeah.
But normally the not they when they pronounced it wrong. And so apparently she never forgave him for that.
Okay, now it makes sense as to why I say Mowgli, because obviously I got taught that at Scouts.
Right.
Or something. Mm. And then I was like, why are you guys saying Mowgli?
That's an interesting one. Also interesting because this film came up after Walt Disney died. So she never forgave a dead man, you know?
I wouldn't. I hate people who don't care to pronounce people's names properly.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Noomni. I'm real quick.
Noomni. All the time, people at Noomni, no.
Respect me by calling me my name properly. Namnumi. Or whatever it is. I forget. I'm not going to take that time.
Can you say my name, actually?
Could you help?
Naomi.
Nai.
Nai.
Naomi. Naomi. Is that right?
Naomi.
Naomi. Sorry, I've only ever seen it written down. The music. So this is the Telegraph article goes on to talk about the music. So because of the restart with the script, they also had to restart all the songs. They had to rewrite all the songs. They had got this guy called Terry Gilkison.
Ooh.
Sick name. That's happy with classic. That name.
Better than Bill Pete.
Yeah.
Poor Bill. So normally they'd write the songs in Disney films long before they write the script. They go, these are the key points of the movie, and then they write the film around it, apparently. So when the film was scrapped, the script was scrapped, they also scrapped the songs. Only one of Gilkison's songs survived the cull, and that was The Bare Necessities. The
Oscar-nominated Bare Necessities.
That's right, it was Oscar-nominated.
Yeah, I knew that.
Did you read that off Matt's page?
No.
Okay. Did she read it off your page, Matt?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
In a real big way. I felt violated. Stop looking over my shoulder.
Do your job.
So he was Gilkison was replaced by the Sherman brothers, Richard and Robert. The Sherman brothers had worked for Disney for quite a while, but their big breakthrough with them was writing the score for Mary Poppins.
Is this P? Is this, you know, in Nemo? They say P. Sherman something something Wallaby Way. Is that why they've got his name in that film? Is that like a
maybe
back to this? What's one of the Sherman brothers' names?
Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert.
Probably not then.
Wait, it's not. It couldn't be R.
Let me have a look.
Sherman.
I think Finding Nemo was.
Oh, that was Pixar. Was that pre-Disney?
Pixar was owned by Disney.
Disney bought Pixar in 2008, I think.
Yeah, I think it was already out.
Interesting. Was Finding Nemo a musical? It wasn't, was it?
No.
Yeah, it was definitely P. Sherman. P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way,
Sydney.
And that was...
We all knew it was Sydney, really.
So the Shermans were encouraged, or Disney was encouraged to keep the Bare Necessities by a lot of the people who were already working on the film. They're like, we got to at least keep this song.
Oh, amen.
Which was smart because, I mean, I don't know what the Sherman songs they did, for instance, King Louis' song.
That was a fun song too, I like.
Yeah, that's been in my head ever since.
Yeah.
An hour ago when we watched the film. What's it called again?
Walk Like I You,
Be Like You. And that was with, we watched a little video of the band who play the song, Louis Prima and his band. They're like a Vegas band. Some people say that it's a bit of a problematic character, King Louis. This is from the Wikipedia page. It says, initially the filmmakers considered Louis Armstrong for the role, but to avoid the likely controversy that would result from casting a black person to voice an ape, they instead chose Prima, a white singer.
Oh, great. That's so funny. I don't want to seem racist, so let's not hire the black guy.
Yeah, it's an interesting way of going about it.
Problem solved. Well, do you know the only thing I knew about Jungle Book is like one night I was stuck in one of those YouTube holes where you watch, it's like those like top 10 movies where blah, 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 and it was like top 10 animations with racist scenes.
Right.
And it was like the shot. I didn't know that it was a white guy who played this ape.
The kind of strange thing, they say they were trying to avoid that issue, but why not just change the animal then if you're worried about that?
Well, then we couldn't do this podcast, Matt, if it wasn't an ape.
But did in general, do you like the music of this film?
Yeah. It was fun. I mean, great. The vulture song. I love that. I don't care for.
Yeah.
That was I don't even remember it.
Yeah, it was nothing.
It just took a long time, didn't it?
Yeah.
That was one of the Shermans.
Get on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
I was thinking that. Get on with
the band it. Necessities, I think the banger from the top.
I think the big Louis one was my favorite, the jazz one.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a great song. So, you know, you're
I'm the soy. I'm.
You're a soy boy.
I'm not a soy boy.
You're the
I'm
proud,
a proud boy.
Boy. That's the opposite of a soy boy, a proud boy.
All right, soy boy, what else is going on?
The music, I think, is good, and I liked it because I'm not a huge musical fan, but it feels like it wasn't overdone. Like, there were pretty limited songs, and they were all pretty good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It wasn't a full musical.
I had it when, songs. Yeah, the musicals where it's like someone asks a question, and they go, well... and then a song starts like, oh man, just talk to them.
The more music, the better for me.
Right. Yeah, this felt like it was all pretty natural. The elephant's song was them doing a march.
Well, actually, there is more songs than I thought, isn't there? Yep. Bare Necessities.
Yeah.
The Elephant March, the King Louis one, then the Vulture one, then Shanti's song.
Oh yeah, Shanti's song was a bit of a snooze.
Are we going to talk about Shani?
Yeah, I guess so. We could do it. So
I can't believe.
So basically, 3/4 of the movie is Mowgli or Mowgli bouncing around different animal characters, and they're sort of fighting over him. Some want to eat him. Some want to be him. Some
like all the best men.
Well, like literally, King Louis wants to be him.
Yeah.
The orangutans wanted to be him. The women wanted to be on him.
there was one woman in the film, and she was like a mother figure.
Yeah. So they went from most of the film was that, and then right towards the end, he's the whole way through, he's like, nah, I'm never going to live in the man village. I'm never going to do it.
And then he sees a lady, like, and he's like, I'm going where she's
and
going.
And he wants
you.
Fuck.
It was like the last 3-4 minutes of the film. No goodbyes.
No.
She sang a siren song, and that was on purpose. They said the writers were trying to come up with a happy ending for the film. They're like, how do we get him out of the jungle? And that's they came up with this idea. And at first, the guy who they pitched it to is like, this is dumb. This is dumb. And then he was like, but then I thought about it, and I'm like, this is genius. I don't know what changed. I'm guessing Walt Disney just said, well, this is what we're doing.
I think what happened is he went to a bar that night.
Yeah.
And there was a lady, and she did some eyes at him.
Yeah.
And then he was
some
like,
karaoke.
This is true. This would happen.
I'm going to go live in the man village right now.
I'm going to follow wherever she leads.
So she...
Swaying
she sways away.
12-year-old hips.
Do we know how old?
No, I don't know. Maybe
how old is Mowgli? How old
Mowgli
is Mowgli?
You don't want to be hated by Rudyard Kipling's daughter if she's still alive.
Okay, 10 years.
You don't want to be haunted by that ghost.
10 years old. He
10
is.
Years old.
Is it Shani?
Shanti.
So I did comment on this, but I was very surprised by the way when she walks away, how her ass sways back and forth like she's a sexy lady when she's clearly prepubescent.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. But
oh, sure, mate.
But it was like her song that she was singing was about the circle of life, basically. It was a pre-circle of life, circle of life song where she sang.
But the circle of life
mom,
is depressing.
My mum's cooking in the kitchen. Well, this is literally what it is. My mum's cooking in the kitchen. My dad's out hunting. So I fetch the water till I meet a husband and I'm old enough to cook in the kitchen.
And I'll have a daughter.
And I'll have a daughter. And she'll fetch the water. It was wild. It's like, oh, that really makes life sound
real dull.
Yeah. But, you know.
Maybe a simpler time.
Yeah, simpler time. It is an interesting point you make. This was a simpler time because this film. Was set and made pre 9/11, and I think you know we were more naive back then. We were making films like this, and you know, I don't think you'd see a film end in that way anymore.
No,
what do you think about that?
I agree.
No, not since 9/11. No, definitely not.
What are the characters we haven't mentioned? So Mowgli or Mowgli was actually, did you know he was played by the director's son, Bruce Rethermann?
No, seems like a
nepotism.
Nepotism, yet again.
Only way to get into the industry.
But this is because the original boy who was cast in the role, the pre-production took so long that his voice broke.
That would have been a funny movie.
Yeah, that the first half or something is... boy, and then he's like, I've become a man.
Yeah, then he voiced
the
Chip.
Bear necessities.
I will live in the man village, for I am now a man. You had Phil Harris's Baloo. And he originally, Walt wanted him to do it, and he's like, nah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
And then they bugged him about it. And eventually he's like, well, can I try it like this? And then he just did it as himself. And they're like, perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
That's all like lines like, I'm going to hit you right on the roof and stuff like that. I think that was just language of the time. But it was real fun. Apparently they found that he just had a certain rhythm to how he talked. And then so he was sort of dancing around as he was.
Move the bear.
Yeah. So it was good fun.
Yeah.
And they did animate a lot of the actors, the voice actors, into the animations as well.
Oh, like the facial features.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Just little hints towards that.
That's cute.
There were characters that were drawn that Walt put a line through. There was a character called Rocky the Rhinoceros.
Oh, yeah.
But Walt was not having it. He said, we can't have two silly scenes in a row. It was going to be straight after another comedy scene. And then he's like, no, two comedy scenes in a row.
Can't have that.
Yeah. So Rocky got the ass. But he looked like a cool. But are there Indian rhinoceroses? I'm not a rhino.
Is this set in India?
Are there deers in India?
There
was that deer scene. Bambi's mum made a cameo.
Yeah, I left for a little while to get something to eat. And I missed.
To get me something to eat.
All right.
Naomi was hungry.
Now you're making me sound like a real soy boy.
Oh, no. I was trying to make you sound nice, and I'm ruining your bad boy reputation.
I missed something about Bambi's mum.
Yeah, Bambi's mum. She made a cameo in it. Turns out she's made cameos in heaps of Disney films.
Really?
Yeah.
She's been cleaning up, man. You do one good movie,
she
and you
can't
set.
Seize her.
And she
tries to wants to attack her, but then something. Gets in his, he's like, oh, I just remembered something or something.
Right.
I don't exactly.
He gets
remember.
Interrupted.
Yeah. So she's the one who dies at the start of Bambi, right?
Yeah.
That's like.
Plot twist. I mean, spoiler.
I think it was both. But it was in the, I think it was in the first few minutes.
Yeah.
No, Naomi.
Yeah, it is.
So,
the premise of the movie.
Yeah, that's
really.
The premise. Because I think that does seem to be a real Walt Disney motif is orphaned children. Bambi was one. Mowgli was one.
Tarzan.
Tarzan.
Sleeping Beauty.
Aladdin.
Cinderella.
I think. Cinderella.
Yes. Snow White. Dead Mum.
The girls from the girls from
Tangled.
Frozen.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
Dead parents.
Dead parents.
Cars.
Is that true? Cars.
No, I don't know.
Probably.
Is there a Disney movie where they do have parents?
Yeah. What about Toy Story? But that was Pixar. Was that pre-Disney?
Yeah.
I think Andy's parents might.
That was like their first big movie, I think.
Right. Yeah, I'm not. There's got to be some. I'm sure there are. Lion King for a while, but.
Nemo's got his dad
for a while.
Yeah. He wasn't an orphan until, a good third of the way in.
101 Dalmatians, all the Dalmatians have their mum and dad.
Okay, there you go.
What
about the stone in The Sword and the Stone?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen it for forever.
Yeah.
Brave.
Yeah, what I just said, thank you.
Did you just, I zoned out.
No, I thought you were saying my comment was Brave. Sorry, I thought you were giving me a compliment there. Yeah, Brave.
Ariel. So mum dead?
Yeah, yes. My mum's dead.
Yeah.
God, they always have dead parents.
Yeah. But if you see The Little Mermaid, there's like a prequel, and in that her mum's alive, but her mum just kind of looks like her.
Right.
Sorry, okay. I've seen a lot of Disney movies.
Yeah, you're a big Disney head.
I've seen.
You got a Stan subscription?
I just got rid of it. But I have my favorite Disney
movie. You just got rid of it as they got a deal with Disney.
Yeah, I know.
There's going to be more.
I mean, you can always resubscribe. It's not like it's like a.
No, you only get one chance at Stan.
They don't need you, Danielle.
The Lion King 2, I think, is the best Lion King movie. But
really? Yeah, Simba's Pride?
I love Simba's Pride.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure that's pretty badly canned.
Well, I love it. The songs in it are the best.
Yeah, right.
Deception. Disgrace.
Evil as plain as the scar on his.
It's great.
Oh, my God. That's the same is true of High School Musical 2 as well. So,
yeah, and steps.
I think
up
we
to
can all agree.
Step Up 2? Also a classic.
Why are you...
Godfather 2.
That's got nothing 2. To do with this.
Sister Act 2, Back in
Bring
the Habit.
Bring It On 2.
Yeah.
But I think there's also a Lion King, like, 1.5 or something. I think it's called that. And it's Timber and Timon and Pumbaa's story, sort of.
Tokyo Drift.
Yeah. It starts off at Timon's meerkat tunnel.
Right.
So it's pretty cool.
That's how you know it's cool.
Yeah. It's got a song by Raven Simone in it.
Ah.
Raven Simone.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
Is that okay, that's her Raven Raven?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
she,
a good get.
She's a song called Dig a Tunnel. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Is it about digging tunnels?
It's about digging tunnels.
That's
yeah.
so cool.
I would not have guessed that.
Why? Oh, we should have done The Lion King. Is Rafiki a primate?
Yes, we've already done The Lion King.
Well, we could have done The Lion King too. Why didn't you tell me?
We could have. I mean, I said, would you like to do a movie and you chose this one?
You should have pushed me in that direction, mate. You should have known.
I should have known that you wanted to do Lion King 2, Simba's Pride.
Yes.
The Secret of the Ooze.
So do people really not like that film? That was my first crush.
Right. Well, I think that's...
If the film.
Kovu from The Lion King 2.
You were such
lion.
A scout. Yeah. You're such a Cub Scout. My first crush is an animated straight-to-video movie.
Was it straight-to-video?
I'm sure it
I'm
was.
I'm Wikipedia-ing it.
He's a hot lion, and actually loads of people have had crushes on him. That's a normal one.
Yeah.
You
Nala
need to chill
as well.
Out.
Nala.
Yeah, Nala, a lot of people have crushes on
Nala.
Direct-to-video.
Oh. Weird. I guess I'm only into male lions. Lionesses are the girls. I didn't want to mess up their pronouns, I guess. I don't know.
Gender. Sorry, I checked out. I checked out for like 10 seconds and you're talking about pronouns.
For the lions.
It was straight to video and it was panned.
Why didn't people like it?
It's funny when movies get panned. It's like, well, do the kids like it who it's aimed at?
Yeah.
The overall result is okay for kids who will enjoy the low humour provided by the comical meerkat Timon and the flatulent warthog Pumbaa.
I love a fart.
But it could have been so much better.
Yeah, right.
They all, though most of the original characters and their voices are back, they all sound bored. Brutal.
It is wonderful.
Danielle, you look so pissed.
I think we should re-release it and see what people think now. Maybe it was ahead of its time.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, it is still released now.
I'm going to watch it under a microscope.
Good.
Fuck you. What do you mean good?
Well, not under a microscope, but I would like you to watch it.
What do you mean good?
Just so that we get a more in common.
Did you know this about the vultures in the film?
Yes.
The Jungle Book.
I did.
Okay. Well, maybe some of the listeners do not. This is from IMDb. The vultures were originally going to be voiced by the Beatles.
They look like, I thought they were the Beatles.
I told you this when we were watching it, that they were based off the Beatles.
I zoned you out 2 months ago.
Honestly, you two are nightmares.
So... According to IMDb, Brian Epstein, the Beatles manager, approached the Disney studios about having the Beatles appear in the film, and Disney had its animators create the vultures specifically to be voiced by the band. But when Epstein took the idea to the Beatles, John Lennon vetoed the idea and told Epstein that to tell Disney he should hire Elvis Presley instead, which he obviously didn't do.
Oh, shit.
So the look of the vultures with their mop-top haircuts and Liverpool voices are an homage to the Beatles, or at least they already had it. It sounds funny to call it an homage when I was like, it was meant to be them, and they said no.
So we just kind of did it anyway.
But
so we're going to do one. The Beatles said do one Elvis vulture.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, were they being like.
Do the monkeys.
We don't do movies.
Yeah.
We're not hack like that. We're about the music. Why don't you get your little movie boy who shakes his hips to do it?
Which is funny because they did so many movies.
Did they?
Yeah, they did a lot. Like. They did movies with a lot of their albums, and they even did animated movies soon after this. But apparently, Richard Sherman, one of the Shermans, you know, the Sherman Brothers fame?
Yeah.
You with me talking about the Shermans?
B. Sherman.
Yeah. He said, we thought it would be great to have the Beatles do it, and we wrote a quartet for them to do it. We attempted even to write a song in a rock style. Wow, they went all out.
I was going to say that song did not – I was like, oh, they're the Beatles. But then the song started, I was like, this isn't
Yeah, it. I think they changed it out when the Beatles said no. But Sherman went on to say John was running the show at the time And he said dismissively, I don't want to do an animated film. 3 years later, they did Yellow Submarine. So you can see how things change.
Oh, he's harboring some, isn't he?
he said this pretty recently. He was like when he was 85. Wow. So he's holding on.
Another vendetta against a dead guy.
Yeah. I find that fun. Like, it would be, it feels like it would be weird for the Beatles to have a cameo in that film for some reason.
But yeah, everyone else is a celebrity. That's true. You just don't remember them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ouch. Maybe because they were spending their time doing voiceovers.
Maybe that was the kiss of death doing animated films like that. Mm-hmm. And they should have all done Yellow Submarine, that classic film that we've all seen. They said there were Liverpool accents, but they were not.
One
sounded Australian. And, yeah, one of them was pretty much, I felt like it was one guy who'd heard an English person before and then three who were like, I think I'll be able to do this. Have you want to hear a tape of an English person? No, I've got it. I went to Australia once, so I think I know.
So that was the first half of the Primates episode that we did. Naomi again, the cool one, as you probably know me from listening to the podcast. So if you liked that and if you want to hear the rest of it, then head over to Primates. That's I stopped it at 44 minutes in. So you slide that slider on down to 44 minutes and baby, we're back. Anyway, if you are in London, go see Danielle's shows. Or if you know anyone who is in London, go see Danielle's shows. Make this embarrassing low that we've reached worth it. She's performing from the 23rd of January through to the 2nd of February because she likes to abandon me. So go there, tell everyone. We'll be back with a real podcast next week. Go leave Primates a review. Follow Matt Stewart. He's also in Do Go On, which is another great podcast that I was on, so you can check that out. And they also have another one by Dave Warnicki, who's also in Do Go On, called Book Cheat, which I was also on. So now I'm just talking myself up because some of us are in London performing shows and some of us are sitting at our boyfriend's gaming computer talking to themselves late on a Tuesday night. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.